principles of the doctrine of Christ are the fundamental precepts of our Christian faith. But if it were possible to declare one principle the most important of all, it would have to be the resurrection of the dead. Why? Because if there is no resurrection, our faith is not the evidence of things unseen. It is the evidence of our delusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 16 to 19. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But our hope in Christ is not a matter of delusion. It is a principle of truth. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and for this reason he is the rock, the foundation, and the chief cornerstone of the resurrection of the dead, the fifth principle in the doctrine of Christ. Now, in order to appreciate the importance of the resurrection of the dead, this one point needs to be clear. Without the resurrection, death is man's final end. If there is no resurrection, there is no life beyond the grave. And yet the world is filled with religious doctrines that claim that man does not really die. He just moves on to another form of existence, unhindered by his physical body. Of course, this story has been told, in one version or another, ever since the serpent spoke to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. It shouldn't surprise us when religions that deny the Savior from sin also deny the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. But even among Christians, there is so much controversy over what happens to people after they die. Is the Bible really so unclear? Or could it be that, just like Eve, we've been led away from the simplicity that's in Christ? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. To discover the simple biblical truth about life and death, one rule is absolutely necessary. The words life and death must be plainly defined. Life is life, and death is death. Death is the absence of life. There is no such thing as the living dead. A person can be alive and dying, but he cannot be alive and dead. In the Bible, we learn that there are four stages of the common human experience: our birth, our death, our burial, and our resurrection from the dead. We see this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Verse 2, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Between the time of our birth and the time of our death, we live our natural, mortal life. After we die, we are planted in the grave, until the day comes when we are plucked up, resurrected in the harvest of the earth. This has been true for all people, Jew and Gentile, saved or unsaved, ever since Eve gave birth to her first child. There is a time to be born. From that first generation until now, children are born into the world. The breath of life is passed on from parent to child through the wonder of reproduction. When the breath of life is taken away, that person is no longer alive. Psalm 104, verse 29. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. There's a time to die, and at the moment of your death, all that you were in life is held in a state of complete and absolute sleep that the Bible calls the sleep of death. Psalm 13, verse 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. There is no awareness in the sleep of death. There's no perception of the passing of time. It is a sleep without dreams. And while they sleep the sleep of death, the dead are powerless to actively influence the people they left behind. What may seem like evidence of the dead making contact with the living is either a holy vision or an unholy apparition. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Verse 6, also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Those who sleep the sleep of death are entombed in a place the Bible calls the grave. Look in the same chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, now in verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In the Bible, the grave is not a yard where corpses are buried. The grave is the house of the dead. It is their bed in the darkness. Job chapter 17, verse 13. If I wait, the grave is mine house. I have made my bed in the darkness. The King James Version of the Bible is written in a form of English we now call Old English. Over time, the implication of some of the words has changed. This has been a source of some confusion, but the answer is not past finding out. In the King James Bible, the words grave and hell have the same meaning. In modern times, we think of the grave as the burial ground, and hell is the place where condemned souls are forever tormented, but the older meaning is the correct one. Hell and the grave are the same place. It is the habitation of the dead. It is true that the wicked go to hell when they die. Psalm 9, verse 17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." But the righteous also go to hell. They go to the grave. Psalm 16, verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Peter refers to this psalm in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. David knew that God would not leave his soul in the grave, in hell. He knew that his deliverance would come with the resurrection of his Redeemer. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the grave will not be our final end.